Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Holler at Your Dreams, Dangerously Inspiring Ideas for the Wildly Dope Soul, is a self-help and inspirational book by Judy Holler built around 3065 short ideas for daily reflection and self-expression. Framed as a soul-centered guide rather than a traditional step-by-step program, it blends prose, poetry, and visual energy to encourage readers to reconnect with their authentic selves. The book centers on Holler's concept of the art of self-expressionism, a leadership philosophy that treats creativity, presence, and originality as practical tools for personal growth. Its purpose is not to teach fearlessness in a simplistic sense, but to help readers move beyond perfectionism, self-doubt, and shrinking behavior. Instead, it asks them to make peace with their past, claim their future, and create rituals that support a more honest and expressive life. As a result, the book functions both as a daily companion and as a manifesto for readers who want inspiration grounded in identity, voice, and action. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book's daily format makes inspiration actionable because it replaces abstract advice with a cadence that fits ordinary routines. Readers do not need to commit to a large time block or a highly structured curriculum. They can engage with one idea, reflect, and move on. That makes the book practical for readers who want a companion for mornings, journaling, or periodic self-checks. The repetition also deepens retention, since recurring exposure to the same core values can influence behavior more effectively than a single pass through the text. By presenting inspiration as a sequence of manageable entries, Holler turns self-development into something cumulative rather than performative. The result is a book that works best when used over time, not as a source of quick fixes. The book structure is significant because it is organized around 355 distinct ideas, which makes it less of a one-time read and more of a sustained daily practice. That format matters in the self-help category because change often depends on repetition rather than intensity. Instead of presenting a single master plan, the book offers small, digestible reflections that can be read one at a time, allowing readers to return to the material whenever they need a reset. This approach reduces resistance for people who feel overwhelmed by long programs or rigid systems. It also reinforces the book's central claim that growth comes through ongoing self-expression. By distributing its guidance across short entries, the book encourages readers to build momentum gradually, which makes the content more usable in real life. The daily format also supports the idea of soul stamina, meaning the ability to keep showing up for oneself, even when confidence is inconsistent. In this sense, the book is designed not just to inspire, but to be revisited until its themes become habits. Secondly, the book's strongest conceptual move is to treat self-expression as a leadership capacity rather than a personal quirk. That shift gives the material broader relevance, especially for readers navigating professional environments where conformity is rewarded. Instead of framing creativity as an optional talent, the book suggests it is part of how people contribute, differentiate, and lead. This helps explain why the tone blends encouragement with purpose. The goal is not merely emotional release, but a more effective way of showing up in the world. By tying originality to initiative, Holler makes self-expression feel consequential. The reader is not only invited to feel more authentic, but to act with more clarity and agency. A major theme of the book is the art of self-expressionism, which reframes self-expression as a leadership practice. This is more specific than the common advice to be yourself, because it treats originality as something that can be cultivated and applied in work and life. The underlying idea is that people lead better when they unlock creativity, initiative, and truth from within rather than copying external models. That makes the book relevant not only to readers seeking personal encouragement, but also to those thinking about communication, presence, and influence. Holler positions self-expression as strategic, suggesting that identity is not a distraction from performance but a foundation for it. This differs from many motivational books that focus mainly on confidence or productivity. Here, the emphasis is on alignment. When people speak and act from their actual selves, they are more likely to create meaningful work and make decisive choices. The book, therefore, connects inner authenticity with outward impact, showing that expression is not decorative but functional. In practical terms, it encourages readers to view voice, style, and perspective as tools they can use intentionally. Thirdly, this theme is important because it gives the book a practical philosophy for readers trapped by overthinking. Perfectionism often blocks action by making every first attempt feel inadequate, so the book's insistence on presence offers a workable alternative. It tells readers to engage with the moment they are in, rather than the ideal version they wish they had reached. That shift can be especially useful in creative work, speaking, and decision-making, where hesitation often costs more than imperfection. By emphasizing presence, the book also supports a more humane model of growth. readers are not asked to become invulnerable, they are asked to participate more fully. That distinction makes the advice feel more sustainable than pressure-driven motivation. The book repeatedly rejects perfectionism as the standard for meaningful action. Instead, it promotes presence over perfection, which is a useful distinction because it changes the goal from flawless execution to full engagement. That matters for readers who hesitate, self-sabotage, or delay action until they feel fully ready. Holler suggests that waiting for perfect certainty can become a form of avoidance, while presence allows movement even when confidence is incomplete. This does not mean lowering standards in every area, rather, it means recognizing that creative and personal growth often require participation before polish. The idea also reflects the book's broader refusal to center fear as the main obstacle. It does not pretend fear disappears, but it treats fear as something to be acted through rather than obeyed. That approach gives the book a more grounded tone than many inspiration titles, because it acknowledges vulnerability without making it the final word. Readers are encouraged to show up honestly, accept imperfection as part of process, and continue anyway. In that sense, the book is less about emotional hype than about reducing the power of self-criticism. Fourthly, the book stands out because it treats transformation as a process of re-owning identity instead of erasing the past. That nuance is important for readers who have already tried to reinvent themselves through pressure or denial. Rather than asking them to become someone new in a dramatic sense, the book encourages them to remove the filters that have hidden their actual voice. This can make the idea of change feel less intimidating and more continuous with lived experience. It also gives the reader a framework for handling regret. The past becomes information, not a verdict. In a genre full of reinvention language, this more integrated view is one of the book's clearest strengths. Well, another important dimension of the book is its focus on personal transformation through reconciliation with the past. Holler repeatedly suggests that the past does not define the future, which positions the book as a form of forward-looking repair rather than nostalgia or self-critique. This matters because many readers of self-help books are not simply seeking encouragement. They are trying to escape patterns of shame, regret, or self-sabotage. The book responds by encouraging readers to make peace with who they have been while still claiming the right to become someone new. That framing is useful because it avoids two extremes. It does not deny pain, but it also does not let pain determine identity. The language of coming back home to yourself suggests a return to something essential, not an invention of a totally different self. Readers are therefore invited to treat change as a process of recovery and integration. This perspective aligns the book with emotional healing, but its aim remains practical. People are asked to use that healing to move differently, create differently, and speak differently. The result is a message about self-reclamation that is emotionally resonant without becoming abstract. Lastly, the book's artistic form is not just decorative. It is integral to how the material functions. By combining poetry, prose, and visual design, it creates a reading experience that mirrors the expressive freedom it advocates. That makes it especially appealing to readers who are tired of formulaic self-help language and want something more immediate and textured. The use of art also helps the book operate as an emotional touchstone, since short passages and visual elements are easier to revisit than dense instruction. This format supports the book's role as a daily companion, while also giving it a more memorable identity than standard motivational titles. In effect, the book proves its thesis through presentation. Self-expression is not only discussed, it is enacted on the page. The book is not built like a conventional self-help manual. Its use of poetry, prose, pop art, and visually energetic presentation is part of the message itself because the form reflects the book's commitment to self-expression. This matters analytically because the aesthetic structure helps carry the book's emotional and philosophical claims. Instead of relying only on explanation or instruction, Holler uses a mixed media style that creates immediacy and keeps the reader engaged across many short entries. That design suits the book's emphasis on presence, because it encourages quick encounters with language that feel memorable and open-ended. The rawness of the tone also matters. The book is meant to sound personal and direct rather than polished and detached. This makes it feel closer to a manifesto or companion than a conventional advice book. For readers, the format may lower the barrier to entry, since the pages can be approached in small doses and do not demand linear reading. At the same time, the artistic presentation reinforces the claim that creativity is not an accessory to growth, but a central part of it. The medium and the message work together here in a way that is distinctive within the genre. In conclusion, Holler at Your Dreams is best suited for readers who want self-help that feels expressive, concise, and identity-driven rather than clinical or formulaic. It will likely resonate most with people who feel stuck between ambition and self-doubt, especially those who have been told to tone themselves down or who struggle to follow through because of perfectionism. the main benefit of the book is its ability to translate abstract ideas like authenticity, confidence, and courage into a repeatable daily practice. And it offers a useful combination of encouragement and structure without becoming overly prescriptive. Intellectually, it stands out because it links personal growth to the art of self-expressionism, making creativity and voice central to leadership and change. Compared with many books in the inspirational category, it is less interested in generic positivity and more interested in helping readers reclaim a sense of authorship over their lives. Its blend of short reflections, poetic language, and visual style also gives it a distinctive tone that may appeal to readers who want inspiration that feels artistic as well as practical. In that sense, it is both a motivational guide and a self-expression manifesto. If you would like to support Judy Holler, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.